You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
LaVine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and College Hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at LockedOnBulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Hit us up there with all of your questions, your voicemails. We want to hear from you. We do mailbag every single Wednesday. So hit us up, 331-979-1369. Bowling with Bobby Portis, September 8th. We're a little over a week away from the event. That means tickets are on sale right now. You can buy general admission or VIP tickets to this event. It's going to be super cool. We're so excited to have this, and I know Bobby for a fact is super excited to be putting this event on. So do not wait. Tickets are going to go fast. You can buy tickets at eventbrite.com. Search Locked On Bulls or Bowling with Bobby. You'll be able to find the event easy. Facebook and Twitter as well. There's easy links there at the top of both of those pages. So facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls or at LockedOnBulls on Twitter. We're excited. We hope to see you there 1 week away from Bowling with Bobby Portis. That's September 8th at King's Dining and Entertainment in Lincoln Park. Today's show, we've got a guest. We've got Mark Karanzolas, host of Bulls HQ. You can follow him on Twitter at MK Hoops. If you're part of Bulls Twitter already, you definitely know who Mark is. So without further ado, here is Mark Karanzolas.
Right now, we're very pleased to welcome to Locked On Bulls for the first time a guy who we have a lot of fun interacting with on Bulls Twitter. He is, I guess you could say, the yin to C Red Fred's yang. It's always fun to watch these guys go at it on Twitter. He's Mark Karanzolas. You can follow him on Twitter at MK Hoops, and you should absolutely be listening to his Bulls podcast, Bulls HQ. And you can follow that podcast at Bulls HQ Pod. Mark, welcome to the show, man. I have to get it out of the way. We're sorry that we brought C Red Fred on before you. But as I told you on Twitter, it was just about getting the goof out of the way so we can bring you in and let you hit us with some logic.
Oh, look, I accept your apology. Look, Fred's definitely more entertaining than I am. I'll say that. His outlandish ways and he's the biggest homer I know, but I respect him for that. But he's definitely more entertaining than I will ever be. So I understand why that was the case, even if he is a little bit of a goofball.
And I gotta say, I mean, I think some of our fans really enjoyed that interview, and some of our fans are, you know, and I'm sure you get this too, are a lot more optimistic than Jordan and I are. And we keep saying, you know, we don't label ourselves as pessimists with this Bulls rebuild, but I think realists is the more appropriate term. But a lot of our listeners are right there with Fred saying, yeah, this young core, they're going to win 40 games, maybe 45 this season. And, you know, they're going to make the playoffs. And then a couple years from now, they're going to be going back to title contention. And Jordan and I are saying, whoa, pump the brakes. So I guess that just goes to show the wide range of how people feel about this rebuild. Would you say that you're more in line with how Jordan and I are feeling, which is cautiously optimistic?
Yeah, your listeners are probably going to hate me. Like, I mean, I get labeled with the pessimist tag as well quite often, to the point where I'm often questioning myself and thinking, am I really being pessimistic? But, you know, to myself, I believe I'm being a realist, but maybe I'm not, man. You know, I understand why people are hyped, but yeah, I'm probably more aligned with you guys and, you know, obviously tune into to Locked On Bulls. And my opinions generally, I would say, are more in line with what I hear from you guys than maybe the fan base. And I guess it depends who you're listening to in the fan base too. There are some wide-ranging views, but yeah, it does seem overly positive right now, which, yeah, I can understand it to a degree, but myself, I don't know, if people want to call me a pessimist, they can, but I'm still not thinking this team is headed towards a playoff push anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't necessarily feel like being a pessimist wouldn't be the right way to call it, at least. I think Matt's right on when we're talking about being a realist. And it's not to say, too, to Bulls fans, we don't want to sit here and make it sound like, oh, we're just shitting on the Bulls, basically. But we've tried to explain to people, like, a rebuild, especially at the magnitude that the Bulls are trying to do it, and with a lot of other NBA teams trying to do the same thing, and with LeBron James still in the league and the Golden State Warriors being a historically great team, it's difficult to get back to that point. So I guess after 1 year of the rebuilds, going into year two with some of the moves made this summer, where are you sitting right now with this team? What pieces do you feel like are most valuable? Do you see anybody on this roster right now that is going to be here for the long term, and anybody on this roster you can point to and say, okay, they're going to be a cornerstone for this roster going forward?
Well, here's the thing. Like, we started this podcast talking about, you know, optimism, being a pessimist, being a realist, etc. But I would probably say I was probably one of those optimistic fans, probably after the draft. I was feeling really, really super high on the Bulls, given, you know, the draft they had. I thought they had a tremendous draft. I was feeling really good about how Wendell Carter was going to fit next to Lauri Markkanen for years to come. So I expect those two guys at a minimum to be, I guess, the centerpieces going forward and the two surest things moving forward. So I would expect those guys to have a 10-year career as a Chicago Bull. But beyond that, I guess that's where it becomes interesting, because obviously, you know, Jabari Parker, he's here for a year, but it remains to be seen if it'll be any longer than that. Zach LaVine will be here for 4 years, given the contract he signed, assuming the Bulls don't maybe move him on. But even someone like Chris Dunn, it's going to be a pretty important year for someone like Dunn coming into year three. Obviously, he's not necessarily up for an extension right away, but, you know, he had a really good season last season, you know, relative to his rookie year. But it's a really important season for him too, and I don't know where it's going to go for Dunn. Hopefully, he can find himself within this offense. There's going to be a lot of players around him who want the ball, but, you know, heading into year three for Dunn into year four, I can't say I'm confident that he will necessarily be a long-term Chicago Bull, even though I'd love to see him be that. So to answer your question, I think the only two guys at the moment that I'm definitely confident that will be here for the long term is Wendell Carter Jr. and Lauri Markkanen. Those two guys, they look like the real deal, even though Wendell Carter Jr. hasn't necessarily played just yet. I'm pretty confident that he'll be here for a very long time.
We'll get back to our interview with Mark Karanzolas in a second, but first I want to remind you, King's Dining and Entertainment, 1500 North Clybourne Avenue in Lincoln Park, our home for Bowling with Bobby Portis. That's September 8th, 2 to 6 p.m. You can get tickets at eventbrite.com/lockedonbulls. Search Bowling with Bobby Portis. It should be your football headquarters all season long. A 220-foot bar, full-service restaurant, and over 50 HD TVs, not to mention the 16 lanes, 4 billiards tables, air hockey, darts, and more. That's King's Dining and Entertainment in Lincoln Park. Our home for Bowling with Bobby Portis, your home for football headquarters. Now back to Mark Karanzolas.
Lauri Markkanen, let's start there. Considering probably everybody on this roster, I think Matt and I, this is the one point that no matter what anybody else tells us, and it's actually kind of interesting. We've heard some fans that say that they don't believe in Lauri Markkanen, maybe as high as that Matt and I do. And I feel like Lauri Markkanen is on his way, especially if he has a second year where he's developing at a fast rate. And physically, this summer, he looks like he is on the Anthony Davis diet, on the Giannis Antetokounmpo diet. I don't know what he's taking or what he's doing as far as his physical craft goes, but it looks amazing. What's the ultimate ceiling you feel like Lauri Markkanen can be? And do you feel like the Bulls are better off finding a way to keep him at the four, even with Jabari Parker sort of wedged at the three? And also, you want to kind of develop Wendell Carter Jr. So do you feel like, I guess those are two questions. Do you feel like Lauri Markkanen is, what kind of potential do you feel like he's going to have? And do you feel like Wendell Carter Jr. needs to be a starter this year in order for this Bulls to, for these Bulls to be successful and for him to have a successful rookie year? Or do you feel like he can come off the bench and still work things and still kind of learn the ropes of the NBA in his first season?
Look, I'm more than fine with Wendell Carter Jr. coming off the bench, at least initially in the season. I think it's, with Robin Lopez still around and him being the leader, the veteran leader on the team, it's kind of hard to ask him to come off the bench for a rookie who's never played. And I don't think it's a bad thing to have Wendell Carter Jr. learn from someone like Robin Lopez, watching him on the sidelines and then coming in and, you know, playing 15 to 20 minutes per game at the start of the season. I don't think there's anything wrong with that necessarily. Obviously, as the season progresses, you know, who knows if Robin Lopez will be here past the trade deadline. But I think initially I'm more than fine with Wendell Carter Jr. coming off the bench. And if that were to happen for the remainder of the season, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, given, you know, the Bulls do have a stacked front court. It's just a thing that the Bulls do. The way John Paxson and Gar Foreman construct teams, they've always got three or four, sometimes even five guys in the front court that are worthy of 20 or more minutes per game. But I don't think it would be necessarily a bad thing if Wendell Carter Jr. isn't starting in year one. I think we got a little bit spoiled there with Lauri Markkanen last season, in the sense that obviously we know what happened at the start of last season during preseason, and what allowed for Lauri Markkanen to start. But if Bobby Portis never collects Nikola Mirotic in the face in preseason, then who knows if Lauri Markkanen ever starts last season. So I think we got a little bit spoiled there with Lauri Markkanen in terms of what we may be expecting from Wendell Carter Jr. But with Lauri now in the picture, obviously Bobby Portis playing for a new contract, Robin Lopez still being around, and even Jabari Parker being around, and I believe he's more of a four than a three. So I don't know. I would be very surprised if Wendell Carter Jr. is going to be playing big minutes. And if you guys remember back to when Bobby Portis was a rookie, there was the whole free Bobby Portis movement. And I expect something similar with Wendell Carter Jr. in the sense that he's going to be the fourth big for a little while there. And fans will want to see more minutes for him because he's the newest and probably the most exciting Bull in that front court outside of Lauri Markkanen. So to answer your question, I wouldn't be disappointed if he comes off the bench and does so for the remainder of the season. But I can understand, or I can almost see a lot of our fans being a little bit disappointed if that does occur.
We're joined here on Locked On Bulls by Mark Karanzolas, the host of the Bulls HQ pod, which you should absolutely also be listening to if you are a Bulls fan star for content, which you are if you're listening to our show in the dead of August. Mark, we could talk about how rosy we feel about Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. all day, but let's shift back to a couple of guys that we touched on briefly earlier when discussing which of these guys are most likely to make it through this rebuild and be, you know, the building blocks that stay. And the two that are the highest paid coming into this 18-19 season, and the two that are perhaps the biggest question marks, what do you see as a more likely scenario to play out? Zach LaVine having a season in which he looks like he is absolutely worth the $18 million and change that he's going to collect, or $19 million, whatever it is this season, and then the remaining 3 years of that contract looking like a steal, or Jabari Parker looking like a guy who the Bulls were absolutely smart to invest a $20 million risk reward kind of contract in, and thus will pick up that team option to keep him around a second year for another $20 million? Which of those guys do you see as more likely to have a breakout season?
I probably still think it's Zach LaVine, and I think, I don't know if it's the fan base have necessarily soured on LaVine, but I think he still carries a lot of stigma from that Butler trade, in the sense that he was the prize piece at the day of the trade. Obviously, Lauri Markkanen has now become the best player the Bulls received from that deal, but I don't know. I think Zach LaVine still carries a stigma of sorts, and I'm not necessarily, I guess, sold on that he can be a great player, but I don't think it's necessarily also written in the books that he's going to be, you know, this bad player that can never live up to his contract. So I think just simply due to, I guess, the depth of the roster and the types of players that we have on the roster, I think there's more scope there for Zach LaVine to actually get minutes at the shooting guard position, given that he doesn't really have a lot of competition behind him, whereas someone like Jabari Parker, who, as I mentioned before, I see him more as a power forward than a small forward. After that second ACL injury, the Bulls are really just going to try and pigeonhole him at small forward for a good chunk of his minutes. I don't know if that's going to work for Jabari, and I don't know. I view him more as a power forward. And look, we've already talked about the depth in the front court. If he's going to, I guess, be more naturalized at the small forward position, I don't know how well that's going to work. And given that he's only here for the 1 year, potentially for the two, but at least the one, I think there's more going in favor for Zach LaVine than there is for Jabari Parker for him to be a success here in Chicago next season. And the fact that LaVine, I guess he was here last year, I won't say he was the face of the franchise, but he's definitely got some established roots in being one of the faces of the franchise. So I would probably expect LaVine to have more of an opportunity here to be not necessarily the man of the team, but I think he's got more scope to be a better prospect here for the Bulls than what Jabari Parker necessarily will be.
I think I'm in the same camp with you, and that's not to say necessarily that I don't feel like Jabari Parker can't work here, or necessarily that he's not going to be a good player with the Bulls. I think it's just easier to find ways to back LaVine, considering, like you said, the lack of depth at the shooting guard position, and then coupled with the fact that Parker doesn't naturally play the three. I know everybody wants to go back to his Duke days and say, well, he was a wing there. Well, not really. And it's not to say Jabari Parker is not going to be a good offensive player here, but I guess going back to Zach LaVine, I don't know if it's recency bias as far as what Bulls fans feel like about Zach LaVine, because he came out for 24 games and didn't shoot it all that well at times, and in stretches looked like he was taking difficult shots and taking shots that weren't necessarily the greatest of selection. And the defense just wasn't there. So I don't know if people are sour because of the 24 games after coming back last season on a bad Bulls team, if that made people kind of raise their eyebrows, or if that's coupled with the fact that Chris Dunn at stretches looked better than anticipated. Lauri Markkanen had a season I think a lot of Bulls fans didn't predict him to have. So I don't know if that's necessarily part of the reason why people feel like Zach LaVine this summer was overpaid. But I'm with you, too. I think Zach LaVine can be still be a guy that comes out and scores you 20-plus points a night and can be a guy that's a threat behind the three-point line. What's one thing Zach LaVine's got to do this year, must do this year, for this team to be successful, or at least for fans to be able to turn the sourness on him a little bit and turn it into a positive and say, yeah, you know what, now I kind of believe in Zach LaVine. What's that one thing this year he's got to do?
Well, I mean, the obvious one is defense and just his general defensive awareness. But, you know, that's the obvious answer. But the thinking about, you know, something less obvious, I think it's his general playmaking on offense and not necessarily, you know, playmaking for himself. But if you look at up and down the Bulls roster, they don't have a lot of guys on this roster who are natural, I guess, playmakers for others. So if you look at that starting unit, outside of Chris Dunn, you've got, you know, Zach LaVine, Jabari Parker, Lauri Markkanen, and let's slot Robin Lopez in at center. They're not guys who are naturally gifted at creating plays for others. And that's not to say they're selfish players, but they're not guys that are going to go out there and give you 5, 6, 7 assists. So they're not necessarily guys that you can run offense through for the entire team. So, you know, that that puts a lot of pressure on someone like Chris Dunn. And you know, if for whatever reason he's out with injury, which isn't necessarily, it's certainly possible given the way he plays, that reckless style that he does play with, it's possible that Dunn misses time. And if that's the case, there's not a lot of depth behind Chris Dunn. So I would really like to see Zach LaVine, I guess, really improve in that playmaking space, because there's a lot of pressure on Dunn to be that playmaker on the floor for others. But I guess if LaVine can slot in and really raise his offensive awareness and start creating a pick and roll for others, not necessarily just for himself, then that eases the burden on Dunn and it gives the Bulls another playmaker. And I know Zach LaVine, I think it was his rookie season or year two in Minnesota, they experimented with LaVine at point guard and it didn't necessarily go too well. But, you know, heading into year five now, getting a little bit more experience in this Hoiberg offense, I hope that LaVine can improve on that offensive awareness, let alone that defensive awareness. So I want to see some more playmaking. You know, he can obviously shoot. He didn't necessarily shoot that well for the Bulls last season, but as you mentioned, coming back from that knee. But we know he can do some things on offense for himself, but what can he do for others? I think that's what's going to be super important for LaVine heading into this new deal.
Yeah, and speaking of which, Mark, you just said his name, and it's a guy that we need to talk about when we're talking about how these young players individually can develop and improve upon their games. And it's something that John Paxson came out and said, you know, Zach LaVine needs to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn needs to be a better basketball player. And that's our pal Fred, not your Twitter BFF Fred, the other Fred, the head coach of this team, Fred Hoiberg. What did you see from him last season, if anything, that gave you faith that he's the right guy to be leading this team in year two of the rebuild? Of course, everybody talks about how he kind of gets a pass for the mediocre blah results in his first 2 years here, because year one for Fred was the tail end of the Rose Bulls that just were totally falling apart. Year two was the stupid three alphas experiment, where Fred was just watching Jimmy and D Wade take turns going ISO, and Fred was, you know, pulling his hair out. This past season, which was not a good roster from a talent perspective, but at least more along the lines of what Fred wanted to have to work with in the first place, with the pace and space offense and a lot of three-point shooters and that kind of thing. Did you see anything last season that gives you hope about him being the guy that can help some of these young individual players make steps to improve upon their game? And do you see Fred as a guy you would like the Bulls to keep through not only this full 18-19 season, but the fifth and final year of his contract and beyond? Do you think Fred is that guy?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one. I'm not necessarily convinced he is the guy long-term beyond his deal, you know, the five-year contract that he initially signed. I'm not convinced of that just yet. But even though I was skeptical in years one and two, even though I was quite happy with the signing when it first happened, after years one and two, he clearly couldn't control a veteran locker room, but was much better last season when there was no expectations, had a team that I guess didn't have too many egos on it, had a team where there was more young guys, so I guess it was more familiar for someone like Fred coming out of that college environment. It was probably more familiar for Fred, so I'm not necessarily too surprised he had a better year last year, or at least that was the perception of it, and I think he did improve as a coach last season. But I don't know, if I think about this heading into this season, if there's one guy that's going to be a scapegoat for this season, I could potentially see that being Fred Hoiberg. So, we started this podcast talking about the Bulls fan base and how a lot of the members of the fan base are quite high right now on this team. And, you know, I only need to go back one week and listening to that episode that you had with Fred on board. And he was pretty much mentioning that if the Bulls can't win 40 games, Fred Hoiberg might need to get fired. And I'm not necessarily subscribing to that theory. And I can easily see Fred Hoiberg being the scapegoat here, in the sense that the Bulls have brought in Jabari Parker. Obviously, Lauri Markkanen had a great rookie season. Wendell Carter's back. Not back, but joining the team. Zach LaVine is back. He should be healthy now. He's got his new deal. He's ready to prove it, those sorts of things. Dunn is back again. It just seems like there's this narrative forming that there's a lot of talent on this roster. It's ready to roll. And all it really needs is some good coaching, and a 40-win season is just likely to happen, that the talent is there. It's ready to go. But I don't necessarily subscribe to that theory. So, look, I'm not convinced Hoiberg is the man, but just to prediction. I think he's going to be the scapegoat, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's not back here next season because, you know, in the event the Bulls, you know, win only 27, 28 games somewhere in that vicinity, and there was expectations of 35 or more, maybe even 40 wins, then I can see a lot of the fan base getting quite annoyed. And I just wonder if Fred Hoiberg is going to be the biggest scapegoat for this Bulls team heading into next season.
See, I can understand the idea of him being the scapegoat because you can't fire, you can't cut all 12 guys, all 15 guys in your roster and pretty much start over. So somebody has to take the brunt of the blame. In the front office, it's clear as day that they're going to keep their jobs long-term extended. So it kind of all points to Fred Hoiberg. And I think Matt and I have agreed multiple times that if there's anybody under the most pressure this season, like considering the front office, the ownership, the coaches, and the players, it's got to be Fred Hoiberg. And to really figure out how to get all of these guys to gel together and where the chemistry is going to come from. And not only that, finding the most productive lineups and keeping your guys all in rhythm at the same time, which can be difficult when you have a team with, you know, potentially five guys that should be starting, and then you've got two or three guys coming off the bench that should be seeing legitimate minutes. But like we had talked about before, the clogged front court and sort of your lack of depth in the backcourt, it could make for some interesting lineups next year. And I think that was my biggest knock on Fred Hoiberg as a coach, especially in the rebuild, was at times I was like, what are we doing? Like, what are these lineups that he's putting out there? And why isn't he going to guys when something isn't working? And same thing, even when Jimmy Butler was here, Denzel Valentine hardly ever played. Bobby Portis had a burn on the top of his foot, and then he disappeared from the lineup in the last 6 weeks of that season. So I think if there's a big knock for Fred Hoiberg, it's his willingness to adjust to things that aren't working. I still believe in Fred Hoiberg, though, and I think because we've had callers call in here and say, like, I think you're literally the only person in the Bulls fan base that still believes in Fred Hoiberg as a coach. And to me, I just feel like he got the wrong end of this deal. Like Matt had mentioned, over the first 3 years of his career as an NBA coach, he's had a different lineup, a different situation that he's had to adapt to, and it hasn't necessarily been fair for him. So that's why I think I kind of lead down the road in the path that you guys are saying as far as scapegoat goes. But do you see any situation where Fred Hoiberg could potentially be axed before the end of the 2018-2019 season? Is there a scenario where this Bulls team gets completely fed up with him during the middle of this season and says, you know what, we got to get rid of him right now? Or do you feel like, if anything, he'll probably ride out this year, and if they are going to make a change, it'll be at the end of the season?
Well, I mean, the thing that I guess holds me from saying that potentially could happen is the fact that the Bulls aren't a team that are notorious for getting rid of coaches and having coaches just sit there on the sidelines earning, you know, upwards of $5 million for doing nothing. So I'd be surprised from that reason alone if someone like Hoiberg was let go before the season even ended. But I guess the counter to that is that they do have a ready-made replacement sitting there on the bench, so they don't necessarily need to go out externally, not that they would during the season anyway. But, you know, if for whatever reason Hoiberg was to be fired during the season, then Jim Boylan can pretty much step in straight away, and I think he would do a pretty good job. But, I don't know if that's a realistic scenario, the fact that, or, you know, the potential for Hoiberg to be gone before the season even concluded. It would really need to go pretty poorly. But again, it comes down to expectations, and I guess that expectation needs to be set from management and from ownership. And if management and ownership see it the way a lot of the fan base do, in the sense that they want to see 40 wins or somewhere close to it, or they want to see a playoff berth, and, you know, the Bulls are nowhere near that, then it's possible. But I don't know. It really stems down to what the expectations are. And for me, you know, the over-under, I think, like, what is it, 27.5 or 28.5? Somewhere in that vicinity.
It just got pushed up. 28.5 now, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, personally, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bulls hit that number. I wouldn't be surprised if they get to 33 wins. But anything beyond, say, 36, 37, like, that's a big jump from the team that they had last year. To win 10 or more games, it's very rare for a young team to just make that leap over one season like that. So, I don't know. It really depends on the expectations. But I don't think anyone should be placing those expectations, one on Fred Hoiberg, but even the team itself. And here's a question for you guys, but do you see it like I do in the sense that this is going to be probably, maybe arguably, one of Fred Hoiberg's toughest coaching seasons? We can talk about years one and two and how difficult that was from coaching these veterans. But in the same sense, whilst he's got a younger roster, there's a lot of agendas on this roster. And what I mean by that is, you think about Jabari Parker, he's on a one-year make it or prove it kind of deal. He's going to be out there trying to get buckets, as he's very clearly articulated that that's what he's here to do. And Zach LaVine still has hopes of being a number one option. We talked about Chris Dunn before, needing to find his feet, and with LaVine and Parker still around, maybe there'll be less opportunity for Dunn. And obviously we've got Lauri Markkanen as well, and maybe even Wendell Carter Jr. not receiving the minutes he wants. Bobby Portis too, he wants a new contract. Denzel Valentine, he wants to be a starter. I could go on and on, because there's a lot of agendas on this team, and I just wonder how he's going to manage it all.
Yeah, it's the big unanswered question right now. It's something that I wrote about at length in a piece earlier this summer, is with all of the pressure on these individual kids, the biggest amount of pressure is on Fred to make it all work. Because as you said, there are individual agendas everywhere on this young roster. And it and in some ways, I think you're right, Mark, it'll be harder for him as a coach to move these pieces around and make them successful. It'll be more challenging than just having star players like Jimmy Butler on your roster and saying, okay, Jimmy, go score some buckets. Or, all right, D-Wade, I know it's the fourth quarter, but we were soft on you for the first three quarters tonight. Go get us some fourth quarter buckets, because we need them. That's easy as a coach to do, and that's easy as a coach to say, and it's easy out of a timeout to say, all right, but one of our ISO star players, go get us a bucket. With this season with Fred, as far as how he most successfully executes his rotation and where he finds spots on the floor to use mismatches, and that's the thing to me that has always been the biggest detractor of me believing in Fred, is it doesn't seem like he's a great in-game coach who makes adjustments. Doesn't make adjustments at halftime based on what his opponents are doing. Doesn't necessarily make great adjustments game to game or facing the same opponent again later in the season. And with this young roster, with all of these agendas, I want Fred to be able to have a game plan laid out, and I want those young guys to follow through with that game plan of, all right, this game we're really going to go to Markkanen heavy. This game is going to be about Jabari cutting to the hoop, slashing. This game is going to be about Zach LaVine finding his shot. Coming out of this timeout, Chris Dunn, do your thing. Get to the rack. Draw some free throws. Like, I just don't know if Fred has that in him this season, and that is, to me, the biggest concern. I think you're right about that. Like, I think this season we're going to learn just how good of a coach or how bad of a coach Fred Hoiberg is, because he has this monumental task ahead of him. And we didn't even talk about the defensive end, and that's not really Fred's thing. It's probably going to be associate head coach Jim Boylan taking the brunt of that, which leads me to this, Mark. Do you believe in this new philosophy that the Bulls are going to suddenly be like a great switching team, which they didn't do a lot of last season? To me, I look at that and I look at Parker and LaVine specifically and think that that's going to go horribly, horribly wrong.
Yeah, look, I totally agree. When I think it was in Summer League that was first floated the idea of that, and the minute I heard that, I was concerned, given that LaVine and Parker are on the wings, and we know how important perimeter defense is, particularly at the 2-3-4 positions, where there's a lot of switching going on there, even at the one position as well. And when you've got Zach LaVine and someone like Jabari Parker, who don't have the greatest defensive awareness, and even though Wendell Carter Jr. projects to be a good long-term defender, you can't expect a rookie center to be there cleaning everything up. Even someone like Robin Lopez, a veteran center who can protect the rim, it's not fair to ask him to necessarily be cleaning up mistakes all the time. And I don't know, it puts a lot of pressure on Chris Dunn. Lauri Markkanen was surprisingly good on defense relative to expectations, but I think Lauri still has a lot of work to do in that sense. But then you go to the bench as well, and there's not a lot of defensive players on that bench now that David Nwaba is no longer a Chicago Bull. There's not much defense on that bench either. Cameron Payne, Denzel Valentine, Bobby Portis, they're decent offensive players, but not necessarily the greatest defensive players. So if we're just talking defensive generally, the Bulls shouldn't really be a good defensive team, but I think it may overcomplicate things with them trying to switch everything as well, if that's exactly what they do. But I just question if they can do that anyway. can you really run a switching defense with Robin Lopez on the floor? You can maybe switch on certain positions, maybe your one, two, three, and maybe your four can switch, but there's no way Robin Lopez can switch. So I don't know. I'm yet to be convinced that they're going to run with it a full 48 minutes, and I think it'll be more lineup dependent, but even then, I do have my concerns.
And before we get you out of here, Mark, we got to get the answer to the question that everybody is really needing to know. We all know that you're one of the biggest Kirk Heinrich advocates on Bulls Twitter, and I have come to your aid many times. I feel like a lot of the younger Bulls fans who didn't know Kirk Heinrich of the Baby Bulls and just how good of a player he was. Yeah, he was never a star point guard, a score first point guard, but the guy was just nothing but grit and determination and a great defensive guard who would step in and take a charge from anyone, including the freight train that is LeBron James. When it's said and done, whether it's one season and gone or he sticks around longer, do you think that Jabari Parker will have a bigger influence on this Bulls team than Kirk Heinrich did?
I'll say no. Even though I want to, I hope it's a yes. Look, I hope good things for Jabari Parker. He's a great guy. He's obviously a Chicago product. He's going to do terrific things for the community. And you know, obviously I'm not necessarily there in Chicago, but I realize his importance as a figure and a role model within that city. So I hope he's going to be here for the long term and that somehow it all works. But look, I remain skeptical about his ability to be a small forward. I'm not necessarily convinced that he'll remain healthy. I'm not sure about you guys, but does it seem like the whole ACL thing has been somewhat swept under the rug? Like the two ACL things, obviously everyone's aware of it, but it seems like we're not enough people are talking about that thing, but I'm not sure. Look, I hope he has a successful career as a Chicago Bull, but I'm not expecting it to be a long one. And again, maybe that makes me a pessimist, but I'm not sure, no, guys.
I think you're right. It seems to me like Bulls fans have all of a sudden a short memory. And I'm sure that there is some crossover of fans who were throwing hate at D Rose at the end of his time here in Chicago because of, you know, his collapse into a player that was a shadow of his former self, that are on board with a Jabari signing. Oh, Chicago kid, he's, you know, former number two overall pick, it's going to be great. And as you said, just kind of, you know, sweeping under the rug the fact that this kid's got two ACL tears in his recent past. So that's, you know, that's the elephant in the room that I think people are just kind of glossing over and hoping that he's fully healthy. But I don't know, Jordan, do you think that Bulls fans are just kind of ignoring the two ACLs and are just assuming that it's not going to be a problem for Jabari?
It's that mind over heart kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Or like heart over mind, where people don't want to look at that because it's the bad. And I feel like fans are well aware, and I don't know if they're well aware how much it takes to come back and to sustain your health. And that's why I repeated this summer multiple times. I said, like, if there's anything that's a number one goal on this team, it should just to stay healthy the entire season. Like, you've got guys that are all banged up. Cameron Payne hasn't played a full season here yet. Denzel Valentine has busted up knees. You got to make sure he can stay healthy. And then that goes without even saying. Jabari Parker has had two ACL tears. Zach LaVine's had an ACL tear that he's coming off of. Lauri Markkanen missed a chunk of games with back spasms last year. So that's got to be a concern too. So I guess the thing is just to stay healthy the entire season. And I feel like people are kind of using that and underwhelming that a little bit. And it's like, no, the importance of health, especially with all these young guys, it's going to play a major key. You lose one of those guys, you lose Chris Dunn, you lose Zach LaVine, Jabari Parker, Lauri Markkanen, and Wendell Carter Jr. for any length of time, this team's going to look rapidly different, because you're going to have to plug and place guys that normally aren't going to start and play 30 plus minutes a night. You're going to all of a sudden have to use some of those guys. And while they'll have a little bit of flexibility with the front courts, where Bobby Portis can step into some of those roles should one of those guys get hurt. But still, if you move Robin Lopez off this roster, that thins things up, and you're going to have to let Cristiano Felicio play minutes, and I don't really want to see that either. So I think you guys are right. I don't think Bulls fans necessarily forget that both of those guys are coming off ACLs, but I think it's just more so that people don't really want to think about it because it's the bad, and we went through an entire year of bad, and I can understand it from a fan's perspective, but that has to be part of the conversation when you're putting all this collective together in 2018, 2019.
All right, Mark, is Denzel Valentine going to win most improved player of the NBA this season?
look, what's with the Denzel question to me? I'm pretty sure you guys didn't ask one to Fred last week.
Didn't ask Fred any Denzel questions because I didn't want to have that crap on our podcast.
Yeah, fair enough. You two got pretty heated there. I just, whenever I speak to Fred, I've learned, this is the thing with when you speak to Fred extensively, it really teaches you patience. So I was listening to your podcast last week and you were getting much more heated than what I do. And I was kind of proud of myself, but to see how much I've grown as a person in that sense. Yeah. But
that was the first time I'd ever actually had a conversation with Fred outside of exchanges on Twitter. And there was a quick boiling point there, and you know, I don't lose my cool that quickly usually, but it was Fred. So no, I wasn't even going to let Denzel enter that conversation.
Fair enough. No, look, it's understandable, but to answer your question, absolutely not. No, definitely not.
Do you think
not.
He's going
to
be a good role player off the bench this season?
Look, being serious for a moment, and I actually don't think Denzel's a bad player. I obviously give him a lot of crap online because of who his biggest supporter is. But I think if he can just embrace being a role player and being a guy that can come off the bench and can play make a little bit, spot up and shoot the three, and maybe even get some rebounds here and there and try to play some defense. If he can just do those things that he's capable of doing and not necessarily, I guess, wanting to be this star-type player, which he I'm not necessarily saying he has expectations of being a star, but you hear things about Denzel Valentine, about how he wants to be a starter, how he thinks he should be a starter next season, all these sorts of things, which is obviously not going to happen now that LaVine is back and Jabari Parker is here. He's going to slot straight in at small forward. I just want Denzel to embrace that six-man type role, and I think if he can do that, he'll have a long career in the NBA as a sniper from deep and a guy that can maybe run a secondary pick and roll or something of that nature. But I think he has a career here in Chicago if he can embrace those sorts of things, but I'm not necessarily convinced he will. But nevertheless, I'm sure you'll see him, myself and your guest last week, CBE Fred, arguing constantly about how Valentine is progressing this season.
All right. Well, we'll let you get out of here, Mark. We appreciate you stopping by Locked On Bulls. And again, apologies that we brought Fred on first. But as I said, we wanted the nonsense out of the way so you could come on shortly thereafter and speak some truth, because I think you share a lot of opinions about this team and what they're trying to be and what they will be with Jordan and myself. He is Mark Karanzolas. You should be following him on Twitter. If you think C-Red Fred is nuts, you should be following Mark on Twitter at MK Hoops. And you should also be listening to his Bulls podcast. That's Bulls HQ. You can follow Bulls HQ on Twitter at Bulls HQ Pod. Mark, really nice chatting with you, man. Hopefully we can bring you on again sometime soon.
Yeah, look, this was fun, guys. And look, you've got an open invitation to jump onto Bulls HQ. And I was just thinking before, actually, I think Jordan and I did a podcast back in the Debatables day. So it's cool to see you guys go on to bigger and better things with Locked On Bulls. And look, I'm obviously an international Bulls fan, but I wish I could be there next week for the bowling with Bobby Portis. And I'm sure you guys will be reporting about that, posting that all over Twitter. But hopefully that goes all well for you guys. But again, thanks for having me on. It's been awesome.
Absolutely, Mark. We wish you could join us. We will definitely have some people there capturing photo and video. So we will blast it all over social media so those of our international friends can get a taste. But hey, it's not too late. Just, hop on an airline website right now, see if you can get a quick flight to Chicago.
Well, you set up a GoFundMe page or something like that, and I'll be straight there.
All right. Jordan's going to try to spend it on a billboard instead, but we'll see what we can do. All right, take it easy, Mark.
Cheers, guys.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Once again, want to thank our guest, Mark Karanzolas. You can follow him on Twitter at MK Hoops. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Bowling with Bobby Portis. Get your tickets today, eventbrite.com. Search Locked On Bulls or Bowling with Bobby, or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter, both at the very top of the page, one-click link. Buy your tickets today. General admission and VIP tickets are still available. We're a little over a week away. That's September 8th, 2 to 6 p.m. at King's Dining and Entertainment. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. And make sure you're subscribed to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail line is 331-979-1369. If you want to hit us up there, have anything, any reaction to today's conversation or anything that we talked about this week, we want to hear from you. So hit us up, 331-979-1369. For Matt Peck and our guest, Mark Karanzolas, I'm Jordan Melly. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful long weekend. Happy, happy and safe Labor Day weekend. We see you on Monday. For Jordan and Matt and Mark, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com, part of FanRag Sports.